as I thought about it, I thought of our wonderful Heavenly Father. And I was in a conversation again this morning reflecting upon His nature and His glory and His honor. And consistently, since I've heard this term, it comes to mind quite often now, and that is the Emperor of the Universe. And I heard that for the first time a couple of years ago at the Los Angeles Convention when Brother Rod Hugelman gave a discourse on it. And I think that might have been his title, in fact. And it just that terminology opened up visions and understandings that I hadn't, and feelings that I hadn't experienced before. And this Emperor of the Universe, this master craftsman that works things to His honor and to His glory, including weekends like this where we gather together and brethren come and speak, not communing with one another about what they're going to talk about. And yet God has worked on our minds to interweave these thoughts and to help bring it together so that we can all depart from this place and be edified and built up. And that's how I'm feeling right now. I feel this connectedness with those that have gone before. The thoughts that I'm going to present today on honor one another and that title, come from an experience that I've had over the last year and some opportunity to work together with Brother Dick Kendig. He and I, last fall, we had the opportunity to work together in a weekend seminar, and then more recently we did the same thing in Grand Rapids, and that's because we had some studies that his that really dealt with this subject of honor one another, and I felt like I learned so much from him that I wanted to incorporate it in some thoughts that I also have. And I had some discourses on peacemaking and the two just worked well together in terms of a weekend seminar. And so today I wouldn't call them disconnected thoughts by any means. They are connected. But I'm incorporating some thoughts from another talk that I have called Encourage One Another and these thoughts of honor one another. And one of the things that I learned from Brother Dick is how many scriptures that there are with the one another phrase to it. We have honor one another, of course, encourage one another, exhorting one another, admonishing one another. We talked a little bit about that this weekend and how hard that is to do. In fact, admonishing is I learned in the seminar weekend, is a very difficult concept for brethren. In fact, some brethren don't even think the word means to admonish. Somehow that the scriptures wouldn't have us do that at all. And yet, I think the contrary. I think they do tell us that there are times that we need to do that. How we do it is very important, to be sure. Loving one another, comforting one another, serving one another, forbearing one another, forgiving one another, edifying one another, considering one another. These are all phrases that my concordance search turned up. And so this importance of the body of Christ and the responsibility that we have for one another is pervasive throughout the scriptures, and especially in the New Testament, of course. And we want to begin our thoughts by just taking a few minutes, because we don't have all that much time, but, you know, there's a basic groundwork that's tied in really with our thoughts of the glory of God that we talked about with the Abrahamic covenant, and this character of God that is revealed to us through the Abrahamic covenant and through the behavior of God on our behalf. But it's revealed more personally to us when we think about his relationship with us, even though he's this magnificent emperor of the universe, we can come before him in prayer and commune with him and have a relationship with him, and not as an emperor, but as a father. We lose sight of the fact, I think, oftentimes, we lose sight of the fact that it's not just me that has that privilege. All of us have that privilege. And if I think about you and your relationship with the Heavenly Father, that really does influence how I should honor you and respect you and have a relationship with you. Now, the Apostle Paul, in his letter to the Ephesians, sort of laid that groundwork in the lesson that he was going to teach in the beginning chapters of the Ephesians. And he tells us how rich we are. If there's a key word in the letter to the Ephesians, it's the word rich, or riches, the riches that we have. And I'm going to just go down through them quickly and share some of them with you. These are things that God has given us. We have these now, the Apostle Paul says. Ephesians 1:3, He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Verse 4, He has chosen us in Him. Verse 5, He's adopted us as children, regardless of your doctrinal understanding of adoption versus sonship or whatever. We have this children-father relationship. Verse 6, He's made us accepted in the Beloved. Verse 7, He's redeemed us. Verse 9, He's made us know the mystery of His will. He's made us to understand our future inheritance in verse 10, that we should be to the praise of His glory. If I go on to chapter 2, He's raised us up together and made us to sit in heavenly places. Not in the future, now. God, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He has loved us. See that word riches again. Who is rich in mercy. For by grace are ye saved through faith. That is not of yourselves. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And it goes on. I've just quickly skimmed down my notes here and haven't even covered all of them. Those first two chapters of Ephesians tells us of the wonderful riches that we have in God. Now, we sang the hymn. We are even here with Jesus, priests, and kings. This is how we are viewed. This is relationship. Now, we know how, if we are in the presence of an earthly dignitary, how we honor that dignitary, we respect that position, even though we may not totally agree with the behavior or the decisions of that dignitary, there is honor due to that office. And so that same concept is applicable to ourselves because of the relationship that we all have with our Heavenly Father. That was brought to my attention, that honoring a dignitary recently, and you probably saw this on the news, and it made me stop and think about how difficult sometimes that is to do and what is our responsibility sometimes. This was a situation where Secretary of Defense Rumsfeld was having a press conference. And you may have remembered there was a reporter that was very persistent in asking him some questions. And Rumsfeld could have really, I don't mean to be dishonorable to him by calling him Rumsfeld, so please excuse me for that, but the Secretary of Defense could have just ignored him, dismissed him, even had him removed from the premises, but he didn't do that. He honored the reporter, really, by letting him continue to persist in his questions that were very abrasive and that were disrespectful in their tone, but yet all of us probably would agree important in their nature. So it's very difficult in situations like this. So how do you persist in honor and yet carry out your responsibility sometimes? This perhaps fits better into that category of admonishing. So that's just a little bit of an aside. Honor, what do we mean? The dictionary definition of honor is to hold in respect, and you've heard me use this word respect a couple of times already, to esteem, to show respect for. The Greek word is Strong's number 5091, and it's based upon the concept of value. It really means literally to put a price on, to value in that sense, to put a price on. Sometimes it's even translated, a price. He was sold for the price of 30 pieces of silver. And yet other times this word is translated honor. So honor means to respect by putting a price on. You value it highly. Before we go too much further with that concept of honor, I want to talk a little bit about, we're going to go to Romans, the 12th chapter and verse 10. There's two chapters in the Bible that we're going to look at that are similarly applying to the same thing. One is Romans chapter 12. The other is 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So it makes it kind of easy to remember these. And the Apostle Paul, in both of these contexts, talks about the body of Christ. And he talks about our relationship one with another. And that the hand cannot say of the foot, I don't need you, kind of concepts. And he talks in Romans, he talks about our responsibility to towards one another. And the particular verse that we're looking at is Romans 12:10. And I was blessed the other evening in the memorial service for Brother Bob Houghton. Brother Russ Shalhoub said he thought of Romans 12:10 when he thought of Brother Bob. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. I grieved for Brother Bob from a selfish point of view because I did not get the opportunity to know him. We came on Tuesday night and Wednesday morning he passed away. And yet I had been visiting the center a few times and I observed what everybody testified about. I distinctly saw how he honored the brotherhood. And so when Brother Russell Shalhoub mentioned this scripture in regard to him, I really appreciated it. But there's a depth of understanding of this verse that I've come to appreciate as a result of Brother Dick Kindig's study that I want to share with you also. Let's back up a few verses. Romans 12, 1 and 2, we all know. We quote them all the time. And yet they're in the context of these verses that follow and of the verses that go before. The 11th chapter of Romans. You can go back to the 9th chapter of Romans when he talks about Israel and this transition from God's people to the church, and yet how God continued to be merciful to them. And he talks about the mercies of God, and he starts Romans 12:1 by saying, I beseech you therefore, brethren, because of the mercies of God. He's just expounded all of them. You present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, which is your service of the word, is the way I like to translate that word. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Now, again, this is how things work together, isn't it? Brother Tim Thomason talked to us about that the other night. Don't be influenced by this world and be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind with God's word and our relationships together. Be influenced by that, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given unto me, he says, for every man not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. And so here we're talking about faith, the grace of God on our behalf, and to think soberly. Now, he says, be humble. Don't overly esteem yourself. For we being many, for as we have many members in one body, all members have not the same office. For we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. So he moves into talking about this relationship that we have. Having gifts differing according to the grace that is given us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry. And so he enumerates these then, these talents that different brethren have, skills and opportunities. He says, verse 8, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him doeth with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. You know, it's not, oh, the scriptures require me to be merciful and then begrudgingly do it. It's with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. I mean, it's not, I think that word means, don't let it be feigned, don't let it be superficial. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good, be kindly affection one to another with brotherly love, and honor preferring one another. The word honor here, again, means to respect, to place a value upon. Honor one another. Now, I think, and what was pointed out to me in connection with this, and I documented it with the translation and beginning to look at the words, when you first read it in King James, I get the idea that it's saying, let your brother go before you. And honor preferring one another, I get the idea of kind of stepping aside and just saying, go ahead. And honor preferring one another. But it's not, it doesn't mean that. The prefix that gives us our prefix pre, which we know means before, is there. But it's really not the idea of preferring, let them go before you, as much as it is lead you. Go before the brethren as an example of honoring one another. That's a different thought. Be an example of honoring one another. It's a different twist on it, isn't it? It tells us to not only prefer, and we want to balance this with verse 3. We said, don't think of ourselves so highly or overly highly. But another lesson in this is, just because it says don't think of yourself as overly high, or too highly of yourself, it doesn't really say devalue yourself. Don't get that impression either. It's important to understand that if you're a finger, play the role of a finger. And if you're a hand, do the work of a hand. And a new thought occurred to me this morning I hadn't even thought of. I was going to give this example anyway. Suppose, you know, we're all members of this body. Now, if you cut off this finger, what's going to happen to the finger? It's going to die, isn't it? Is the body going to die? Now, there are certain parts of our body, if you cut them off, we're going to die. The whole body's going to die. So this is a good example only so far, but it's a good example that far. If I cut the finger off, it's going to die. None of us should cut ourselves off from this body. If we do, we will die. The body won't die, but we will die. So don't cut that off. But I also thought, you know, sometimes a finger's cut off. Well, let's remember Brother Bob Houghton. He played a role in the body, didn't he? And we talk about who's going to write the manna text and leave it there in the dining hall. And who's going to help pass around the microphone? And who's going to do some of these other things? And so the thought I thought about this morning, yes, if I cut off this finger, then this finger has to start doing some of that work, doesn't it? And it's not as good, but it's still there. So it steps in and it honors the brotherhood and it honors the memory of that finger also, doesn't it? So that's what this verse, honor one another in honor preferring one another, means. And we could say a lot more about that. 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, talks about the body of Christ also. It talks about there's diversities of gifts, verse 4, but the same Spirit, there are differences of administration, the same Lord. Verse 12, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also are Christ. Verse 14, for the body is not one member, but many. And the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I'm not of the body, is therefore not of the body? Obviously not. Of course it is. If the ear shall say, because I'm not of the eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? So you get the idea of Paul's ministry there in those verses. There should also not be a false modesty. It should not be the eye saying, well, I'm not an ear, so I can't do anything. Remember Romans 12:3 again. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but at the same time, don't think of yourself too lowly either. What opportunities do you have? You're part of the body. Analyze your talents. Analyze your strengths. Look to where you can serve. Which brings us to the next part, the final part of our talk, and we'll do our best to talk about how can we serve. How can we serve as a member of the body? Encouragement is certainly one way. We encourage one another. Another way that we can serve, this is more difficult, is to admonish. Means we bring to the attention of wrongdoing. Now, Brother David spoke to this yesterday also. Sometimes there are some difficult circumstances in our classes. As he said, maybe it's just downright wrong. How do you do that? How do you handle that? See, that's where the real difficulty comes, isn't it? We know we should do something. We know we have a responsibility. Might even have skills. And our personality just says, I hate conflict so bad I can't even deal with it. But how do we overcome that, accept the responsibility that's involved? Other times we recognize that there's this need there, but we ourselves don't have the skill. What can we do? And there's another kind of service in a way, hopefully we can speak to in the few minutes that we have left, and that's forgiveness. Because that brings in this relationship of the body of Christ, how it is that we can maintain that relationship and grow together. Now there's one concept that I want to kind of go back to briefly. I said to honor one another, this concept of honor means to value, to put literally to put a price on. Let me ask you a question. Can you value someone really to the fullest extent? I need to qualify this question. Can you value them to the fullest extent if you do not value yourself? There's probably nuances to the answer to that question, but at the very least, our ability to value is diminished. I think you would agree with me when you stop and think about it. Our ability to value our brethren highly, to honor them, is diminished if we do not value ourselves. And hence the problem with the false modesty of Romans 12:3, if you interpret it to say, don't think of yourself highly at all. Value yourself. If you're a finger, recognize you got a role as a finger and do it. And the valuable contribution that you have. I think the concept is, I probably don't need to prove it to you, but I think the concept is proven with just the doctrine of love that we have when it says, love your neighbor as yourself. So that means you need to love yourself. If you don't love yourself, I think the implication there is you cannot really love your neighbor as yourself. It's not going to do you much good anyway. If you don't love yourself, you wouldn't love your neighbor too highly either. And so the principle is transferable there to the idea of honor. Okay, so we want to now then spend spend a little bit of a few minutes here talking about ways in which we can encourage one another, which is a way to honor one another. We respect them enough to encourage them. Perhaps ways of admonishing one another. We respect them well enough to admonish them. Because, brethren, we're part of maybe a better analogy to help us understand that than the body of Christ is we're part of a family. If your son or daughter was misbehaving, would you devalue them enough to not say anything and admonish them? If your brother or sister in the flesh was behaving inappropriately, would you devalue them so much that you wouldn't say anything? Or even your mother or father? How you do it is even more important too. How do you show respect in process as well as in fact? I was looking over my notes on the talk that I'm kind of incorporating with this at this point, which was on encouraging. These are habits that we need to develop. So how do you do this? When the rubber meets the road is when the event happens that you need to draw upon these principles, isn't it? So it's not enough to have an intellectual understanding of these. It's the being to put it into practice when you need it. So that phrase, when the rubber meets the road, is when it happens that your brother or sister is in need of encouragement, are you there then? Or do you step back? If your brother or sister needs admonishing, do you have the wherewithal and the skills to step forward and to do what needs to be done at that moment in time? And sometimes it's almost a split second. You lose the opportunity. I think that the answer to that is habits. It's habits of mind. It's a way of getting us in the groove so that it just becomes habitual with us. And I remember a talk that Brother George Tabak gave on habits. He used an example. He first of all graphically got our attention by saying that, you know, some of us have bad habits, and it's always easy to talk about not eating properly because most of us have a bad habit of not eating properly at one time or another. So he used the example of how much fat content is in our food sometimes. We know fast food in particular has a high fat content, and Brother George showed us a vial. I think it was, you know, what we call a test tube, and it was about four inches tall, and it was filled one quarter of the way up full with white substance. It looked like lard, like fat, and he said, you know, this quarter of this test tube is how much fat there is in a piece of skinless chicken. And then he showed us another vial, and he said, this is how much fat is in a McDonald's quarter pounder. And there was one 4-inch vial, and a second 4-inch vial, a third 4-inch vial, and a fourth 4-inch vial. And then Brother Jordan said, and that's just in the quarter pounder. That's not in the fries and in the milkshake that goes with it. So Brother George got our attention, didn't he? And we know that we have needs to do these things, but sometimes it still doesn't change our behavior. So what changes our behavior? Changes in our behavior get back to an underlying principle in honor. And that was the value, the price that you put on something. And if you highly value something, then you will change your behavior to accomplish what it is that you value. This is the mental conflict that I have. Because when I've had some good discussions with Brother Richard Evans on the Apostle Paul's comments when he says, the things that I do, I don't do, and the things that I want to do, I don't do, and the things that I do are the things that I don't want to do. And this mental warfare that we all have, nevertheless, comes back to what do I really value. And if I dishonor myself or God or the brethren by doing those things which I ought not to do, my mental warfare tells me it's because I'm not valuing enough what I ought to value. The talk that I gave on Encourage One Another wrapped itself around a fundamental, very important doctrine of our faith, and that is the freedom to choose. Because at any one moment in time, we have a choice. And so when it comes to admonishing, I've got a choice. I can choose to apply all of the skills and wisdom and knowledge and expertise that I have to that problem, or I can choose to ignore it, hide away, or, you know, those are extreme cases. But the freedom to choose is affected by some things that we need to also become aware of. One of them is self-awareness. If I'm not aware of myself, I limit my freedom to choose a response that is appropriate. If we have an awareness of self that enabled us to count, you know, we counted the cost in the beginning of the way and we said, you know, I'm not worthy, dear Lord, but I know I'm a sinner. And we valued the vision that God had given us of the call and of the opportunity to be of the church class. And we valued God so highly for that wonderful plan of salvation that we would have a part of it, that we overcame that self-awareness. But if I'm unaware that I'm an abrasive character and I snap at my brethren at the drop of a hat, or because something's not going like I thought it ought to go, and I'm not aware of myself to control that behavior, then that affects my ability to choose a response that is more appropriate. Brother Homer talked about be patient this morning as part of that context of Titus. It affects my ability to choose the patient response or to choose the forgiving response. Imagination is a part of the freedom to choose. We have a vision of the kingdom of God and of the opportunity we have to live and reign with Christ. We have a clear vision that helps us choose those things. Nehemiah had a clear vision of what this built wall around Jerusalem would be. And that helped him to choose to go to God in prayer and then go to the king and say, let me go there and do this work. Imagination is in part, so that's the second part. Conscience. Do we have a tender conscience that is pricked when we don't behave according to these principles, or that is pricked when our brethren don't, and that causes us to choose a proactive response? And an independent will. Are we guided by the will of God as new creatures in Christ and not by the dictates of the flesh? Which includes an aversion to conflict. I just bring to you those, some of these things that are important in the freedom to choose when it comes time for the need to choose responses that honor our brethren. That's what we're called to do, to value them as God values them. Remember Ephesians. He's made us all priests and kings. We sit even here with Jesus, priests and kings. Another word that I've come to be aware of is contempt. I realized this morning that that is the word that's this opposite of honor, isn't it? It's contempt. And do we behave contemptuously towards our brethren, or do we honor them? God has honored them with this call. Let us value them as He values all of us. Let us value one another and honor one another. And time would not permit me the whole weekend, and I wouldn't even have the knowledge and the skills to go into it, into how we can do that. But the beginning of it is to value one another so highly that we seek to learn and to do those things. May God add His blessing.